RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
And now, it's time for the Scores Postgame Show, presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing, number one in premium decking. Order free samples at TimberTech.com and by Turo Tire, Chicago's hometown tire. Find a dealer at Turo.com. Here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and filling in for Mully, Zach Zaidman, on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
Man, oh man, what a finish to a shootout in San Francisco as the Bears come out on the wrong end of a heartbreaker as the 49ers beat the Bears by a final of 42-38. What a game for a variety of different reasons. Hi, everyone. Zach Zaidman in for Mully. Olin Krutz is off. Patrick Manley is with us. This is the Football Postgame Show presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing and Aturo Tire. Pat, take a deep breath and give me your impressions right after that heartbreaker.
Yeah, it's a hard one, man. I was hoping to be celebrating a win working with you tonight, Zach. It's good to talk with you, but just no defense. You know, I mean, the game started out with a takeaway, which you love to see, which you have kind of grown to know what the Bears do. But then for the rest of the game, just zero defense at all. That was what was disappointing. You know, you watch the tape going into this game, and I had a feeling it was going to be a high-scoring game, looking at their defense compared to our offense. And you were hoping our defense would step up a little bit, knowing what's in front of them with the playoffs. And you saw what the 49ers did to the Colts the week before. And I was like, no, they'll step up and play a little bit better. But just a shootout, and I wanted to see more defense. But you got to give the Bears credit to get themselves in position to have a chance to win the game at the end of the game. I thought Caleb was going to do it. I think everybody thought Caleb was going to do it. I posted the meme, Believe, the Ted Lasso meme, Believe, and I thought it was going to happen. They put him in position to do it. But here's one thing. We're going to the playoffs. We are division champs. And if you want to take a positive out of this, and I will, it's a great learning experience for this young team. A lot of these games are going to come down to last possession. They've won a lot. They've lost a couple now, or lost this one tonight. But they gave themselves a chance. And I'm a little disappointed they lost. But I need to see more from the defense. But I tell you what, Zach, we were entertained.
Yeah, no question about it. I think the thing that stands out to me, really, from Thanksgiving on to right now, is that the Bears have found a way to play ball toe-to-toe with these playoff teams, whether it was Philadelphia, where they bullied the Eagles, the two games against Green Bay, they were in them right till the end, went 1-1 in those games, and then what we saw tonight against a playoff team in San Francisco, on the road, the Bears went toe-to-toe with the 49ers. The thing that really hurts is that you had a chance to win it the way the Bears have won so many games this season, Pat, and now you're not going to be the number one seed. And I felt like there was a real opportunity to gain that top seed because San Francisco is going to play Seattle next week. And it's a different story if you have a bye and then play two games in January in the conditions that we've seen this winter at Soldier Field.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That is disappointing because that is a huge advantage the way the playoffs are set now. And like you said, playing in Chicago, I've been lucky to play in a few of those in the run to 06. And it doesn't matter who's coming in there. It does make a difference playing in Chicago in January. But at least we have one home game. Let's go. I'm going to spin a little positive here. I am disappointed. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And the reason why I'm disappointed is the defense. I wanted to see more out of the defense, like I said there at the beginning. But it does stink they lost that because they do lose out on the first seed. But again, you get in the playoffs, you still have a chance, Zach. And this team right now, they're pretty good. I was happy to see what the offense did. You know, against a bad defense, Caleb went out and had a pretty darn good game. Just could not come through there at the end. But, man, oh, man, yeah, it is disappointing to not get the first seed.
312-644-6767 is the phone number. We'll be taking your phone calls throughout the evening here as we break down the heartbreaker in San Francisco as the 49ers beat the Bears by a final of 42-38, which means that the Bears will not be the top seed in the NFC. And now they need to beat Detroit next week or have the Eagles lose next week in order to be the number two seed entering the playoffs. But the thing that stands out to me, and you brought it up multiple times, the defense and the issues, it started out great, right? You get the pick six to start the game on the first snap. Beautiful play by Jalen Johnson, knocking the ball up in the air, and then TJ Edwards corrals it and waltzes in for a touchdown. The thing, though, that I still remain puzzled is you knew all week long that George Kittle wasn't going to be on the field, right? You found out fairly early on that the ankle was going to be a problem. And then early on in that game, the star left tackle for the Niners, Trent Williams, is out. And yet the Bears seemingly did not have an answer for the 49ers offense throughout the entire game.
They just still don't have a pass rush. Austin Booker got there once, batted a couple balls, but that was at the line of scrimmage. And you're right. When Trent Williams went out, I said, okay, I knew Brock Purdy could move. I didn't know he could move that well. I haven't seen a whole bunch of Brock Purdy, but what a game for he had, you know, being able to move around the pocket and what he did early in the game as well. But I did. I thought those were huge advantages for this defense, and that's why I'm disappointed. You know, you look at the numbers. They gave up on third downs in the first half. They let the 49ers convert 5 of 7, I think 7 of 10 total.
Yeah.
And then they were 5 for 5 in the red zone. They stopped the Packers, what, 0 for 5 last week, and they were 5 for 5 this week. So that's disappointing. You just can't have that. Those are losing numbers. But the offense came to play and put up 31 points. The defense put up 7. But those numbers are just very disappointing, Zach, for this defense, which, you know, they talked about playing your best ball in December. Well, the offense is, but the defense is not. And that's what's concerning about the playoff run here. Your defense cannot show up like that and expect to win a playoff game.
Well, see, they've been living on the takeaway all season long, and this is what the critics always say, right? If they don't get the takeaways, then they look very ordinary out there. And, yeah, they got the takeaway early that led to a touchdown. Almost always when you do that, it leads to victory. But yet the 49ers, and this is where you give Purdy, Kyle Shanahan, Christian McCaffrey, that entire 49ers offense a great deal of credit, because they went at the Bears. They didn't mess around. And at one point, they were going toe-to-toe like the Pro Bowl, right? There were five consecutive scoring drives combined between the teams. And you knew that if you were going to be limited to a field goal in this game at any point during one of these big drives, you were going to be in trouble. Late in the game, the Bears were limited to a field goal, and the 49ers struck back, got a touchdown. And, you know, even with that, I thought if you were watching the game on TV, you heard Chris Collinsworth say, Pat, that, you know, the Bears were in the position that they're probably most comfortable in, trailing late in the game with an opportunity to win it. And you really felt, as Caleb was scrambling around on that last play, that something would materialize, right?
Yeah,
and it just didn't.
He spoiled us from that standpoint. No doubt. And there is a belief. There is a total belief. And I think the guys believe it just didn't happen in the end there. But let me run through some numbers here, which are disappointing for this defense, because you're the 49ers. You don't have your all-pro tight end in George Kittle. You don't have your all-pro left tackle in Trent Williams, but you still give up. The Bears still give up 496 yards total, 200 yards rushing, 5 for 5 in the red zone. I mean, that's unacceptable. You're missing basically two potential Hall of Famers on an offense, and you still give up those numbers. I know it's Kyle Shanahan, and you can talk about how good he is running an offense, but man for man, if you lose two guys like that, you should not allow that to happen. And that's what happened today. The defense played poorly, as well as they did last week in the red zone. They played that poorly this week, and that led to the loss. I think the offense did their job in what I thought they could do against Robert Saleh's defense. But again, the Bears defense and Dennis Allen just did not show up today.
And the Niners win it 42-38. So San Francisco improves to 12-4. They take on Seattle next week. And they're going to try to be the number one seed in the NFC. The Bears at 11-5 after this game. A valiant effort. You know, the other thing that struck me watching just overall this game unfold, and Pat, you have great perspective when it comes to Bears history. No one has played more games in a Bears uniform than you. Can you recall shootouts?
No. No, I mean, very rarely. I think 2013, we had a pretty darn good offense, right? Mm-hmm. With Mark Trestman's first year. But games like that, I don't. And what's to me, the NFL now is an offensive game, right? Just the way it is, protecting the quarterback, the rules, and all that kind of stuff. And it feels like the Bears have finally caught up to that. And we have a franchise quarterback. I do believe in that. I believe in Caleb Williams. And it is nice to see that they can stand up to other teams that have these offensive-minded head coaches and great offenses and do what they do. But it's encouraging, like I said when we started, but it's still disappointing to lose that. But I am encouraged with this offense and what they did today.
How can you not be? Caleb Williams going 25 of 42. He threw for 330 yards. That's a season high. Two touchdown passes. And, you know, late in the game, there were opportunities there where his rookie pass catchers, whether it was Colson Loveland, missed a very catchable ball, and Luther Burden III, who had a phenomenal game, his breakout game, 138 yards receiving on 8 receptions and a touchdown, and he dropped one that was a catchable ball. So, like, that's the stuff that kind of stays with you, because you knew it was a game that your offense was going to have to win. Because it was evident after the pick six that the Bears defense didn't have whatever they needed to slow down what San Francisco was doing on the offensive side.
Yeah, but you talk about Loveland and Burden. I mean, they're the ones that got you there, right?
Mm-hmm.
They got to make those plays. And what I wrote down here is that it's a learning experience for this young team. You know, they've come through in the end in some of these and a lot of these, but they didn't today. But that's a learning experience for them. I have a feeling they're going to be there again, and they're going to have their number called again, and they won't have the drops. I didn't realize that was Colson Loveland's first drop of the year, which is impressive. And Ryan Poles, give him credit, has hit on those two young men as well for this offense and Caleb Williams and what he has going forward. So I understand they made those drops, and you're going to coach them hard about that, but it's a learning experience. But they wouldn't be in that position at the end of the game if it wasn't for them and their game they played today.
100%. But we are critical when it comes to that stuff, because you're approaching the playoffs now. And when you play playoff football, you have to make plays like that. For example, we can be critical of some of the layups underneath that Caleb Williams had in this ball game. And look, no one's going to be more critical of Caleb Williams than Caleb Williams when he watches that on tape, because he knows. I don't even think he has to see it on tape to know that there were a couple of misses there that, by him, that shouldn't be misses by a quarterback of his talents.
Yeah, and I thought Chris Collinsworth did a great job of highlighting that and saying, hey, if you want to be great, don't miss the layups. You got to make these throws. And, you know, I don't think any other games we watched on TV have highlighted it that way. But that kind of simplified what we're missing with Caleb, and I'm sure he knows what he's missing in his game. He makes those plays, the game might end up differently. And that's what the great ones do. They make those easy plays. They make those the throws at the right time, and he's not doing that. He's making the big throw at the end of the game, but some of those other throws, I want to see him complete those. And I thought Chris Collinsworth did a great job explaining that.
49ers beat the Bears 42-38. This is the Football Postgame Show presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing and Aturo Tires. Zach Zaidman in for Mully. Patrick Manley is along. Olin Kreutz is off tonight. Let's go out to the phones. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. I know a lot of you want to react to what you saw tonight between the Bears and 49ers. Let's say hi to John in Dallas. John, you're on the score.
Hey, the only thing I'm disappointed tonight in how y'all doing is that when we reached the red zone, when we was down at, about 25 seconds, where are our red zone plays to the end zone? Not underneath. We didn't have enough time. And even when he threw to the number four, that didn't get to the end zone. You got to have plays that in close to where you can have some plays in the end zone. So if you're going to go with four straight plays, hit the end zone. I'll hang up and hear what you got to say.
Thanks for the call, John. Look, they tried the hook and ladder play.
Yes.
And with Loveland and DeAndre Swift, and they got close, didn't get in. But they tried. That was the play. They understood the kind of defense that they were facing, and you needed a little trickery, and that's why Ben Johnson is considered one of the best offensive minds in the game. That was the play they tried. It didn't get them to where they needed to go.
Yeah, I've never faulted Ben Johnson and what he's done at the end of the games. You know, you go back to the Green Bay game where Caleb threw the interception. People debated that. Should he have run for it, thrown it to DJ, thrown it to Cole, whatever. He's giving the team an opportunity to win the game. He got him down there again with his playing calling to win the game and gave them an opportunity. I want to go back and watch the hook and ladder because I don't know if Cole, because the timing and all that kind of stuff, Cole was in the end zone. I don't know if he would have been able to block somebody with the timing with it not being pass interference because he was, I don't know if he slipped. I would like to go back and see that if it was executed 100% right. But I can't fault Ben Johnson and what he's calling. He's given these guys opportunities to win the game. He gave Caleb opportunity to play after that to win the game. So I understand you want to try to get it in the end zone more, but you are putting your team in position to win, and they just didn't come through tonight.
Yeah, generally when you put 38 points on the board, you're expecting to walk off the field as the winner. And so, yes, we're very critical of the offense, but that's not the reason the Bears were in the L column after this game. It was because the defense could not stop anything that San Francisco was doing offensively with the exception of the first snap when they got the pick six.
Yeah, it just really was disappointing, Zach, because that's not playoff football. That's not winning football in the playoffs. You can't do that. You can't win games like that. Obviously, you can't win during the regular season, but you wanted to see this defense take that step. You wanted to see them play a little bit better. You wanted to see them get after Brock Purdy. We talked about Trent Williams being out of the game, and I thought maybe either Austin Booker or you move Montez Sweat over there, you know, going against a backup that have a chance to get after Brock Purdy, and they couldn't get to him except one time.
Hey, Pat, why can't the Bears generate the kind of pressure that you need to? And again, a lot of teams have had difficulty pressuring Brock Purdy, but considering some of the injuries that the 49ers were dealing with on the offensive side of the ball tonight, that was a little disappointing. Why do you think they're not able to generate the pressure that you need?
They just don't win their one-on-one matchups. I mean, Grady Jarrett was here to win one-on-one inside. He hasn't been able to do it. He's been banged up a little bit. Now he seems a little bit healthier. He has had some pressure the last couple weeks. I didn't see him much today. Austin Booker, they're just not elite pass rushers. And even Montez Sweat is not that as well. He's an all-around really good player. But in my opinion, I don't think he's getting paid too much to not get after the passer enough. You know, he has his sacks. They're I forgot his number of sacks this year, but they're not enough to me. They're not winning the one-on-ones. They're not winning games. They're not getting the quarterback down in critical situations. But they're just not winning their one-on-ones, really, to answer your question.
312-644-6767. Out to the phones we go. Mike in Rockford, you're on the Score. What's up, Mike?
Hey, good evening, guys. Listen, could your producer, I'm not anywhere I can listen to my rebuttal. Can you leave me on for like 1 minute so I can hear what you guys have to say so I don't get disconnected?
You got it. What's on your mind? Go ahead.
Okay, so here's what I want to say, guys. I really wanted the Bears to win, but at the same time, I know it sounds crazy, but I don't want to see the Packers. And the Bears have not played them good this year. And I was a little bit shocked at how good the Bears played the 49ers. I thought the Bears were going to go in this game and kind of lose big. And the Bears surprised me. So I was happy about how they did play a good game, not enough to win. But I don't want to see them. I don't want to see them face the Packers. I know if they get, let me ask you guys if you know this, and it might be not, you know, until the next week to find out who's actually playing who. But if the Bears do fall to the third seed, if Philadelphia somehow wins next week against Washington and the Bears lose to Detroit, the Bears would then be the number three seed. Who would the Bears probably play? Would it be an NFC West team?
Well, at that point, you know, I think you have to let everything play out next week. And I understand, and thank you very much for the call, Mike. I'm like this. Look, I'm afraid of Green Bay, too.
Huh? You're not supposed to say that. Zach.
I'm being honest. But I think you have to
even
remember.
Even with all their injuries?
Well, we don't. Are they going to be healthy by the time they fit? But I also think there's something to be said for slaying the demon. Right. If you want to be the top dog and you have to exercise this Packer demon that's dominated you. So from that standpoint, it's inevitable. Right. Don't you? It's kind of inevitable. You think, you know, somehow you're going to have to beat the Packers. If you expect to get to the Super Bowl, you have to be able to beat a team like the Packers. Period. They've already done it. Once you get into the playoffs, doesn't matter how you win. Just find a way to win, just like you did last time. Simple as that.
Agreed. And I don't think if you look at the teams in the going into the playoffs, besides the AFC East, or sorry, the AFC South, they're all better than the Packers. I'd rather face the Packers or whoever wins, you know, the AFC South. You're not going to face them in the first round, but I'd rather face the Packers. I'm afraid of the other teams, not the Packers. I'd rather see the Packers for the third time. I honestly would. I just think with their injuries and the Bears' run game, what they have up front, I'd rather face them.
Yeah, I'd like to face the Packers team that took on the Ravens yesterday.
Yes, exactly. They used a lot of the same run plays. Olin was talking about in the pregame. They took a lot of, you know, from what the Bears did to him up front, and they did it better with Derrick Henry. But I just think with the Bears' strength of the offensive line against that banged-up defensive line, that's a better matchup than some of these other teams.
Bears lose a heartbreaker in San Francisco tonight. 49ers knock off the Bears 42-38. The Bears no longer able to fight for that top seed in the NFC. We're going to take a break. When we come back, your phone calls and much more. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. This is the Football Postgame Show presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing and Aturo Tire on 670 The Score.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
4 seconds left, second and goal. Here is Williams. He's got to throw it to the end zone. Clock has expired. Williams keeps the play alive. He's looking. He's got to get rid of it. Retreating, he throws. Incomplete. It's over. And the Niners have won. Burden injured in the end zone. Clock finally strikes midnight on these Bears. Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers win here next Sunday against Seattle. And the road to the Super Bowl in the NFC comes through the place where they'll play the Super Bowl.
Mike Tirico, the call on NBC Sunday Night Football. The Bears lose a heartbreaker in San Francisco as the 49ers hold on and beat the Bears in a shootout 42-38. The loss means the Bears will not have a shot at the number one overall seed in the NFC. This is the Football Postgame Show presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing and Aturo Tire. Alongside Patrick Manley, I'm Zach Zaidman filling in for Mully. We're going to be taking your phone calls throughout the hour. 312-644-6767. We'll also hear from Bears head coach Ben Johnson and have a lot more. First off, before we analyze every little aspect of this game, Pat, that was a phenomenal football game, wasn't it?
Absolutely entertaining. And the stat they had, the 7-7, 14-14, 21-20, I didn't realize that. That's unbelievable because that's like a Madden game where you're sitting there playing with your buddy and you're just scoring every time. I mean, it was entertaining. If you like offense, Zach, that was a great game. But I like defense. I like. You know, they made him punt twice.
They
Can
did
you say that they made him punt twice. That's huge. But no, it was a very entertaining game. I tell you what, you get your money's worth if you're a Bears fan this year. Every game's been amazing to watch. Most of them, except the first two and a couple in between. But just lately, it's been a fun game, man. But that was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I think you thought it would go a little bit differently for the Bears defense, the way it started out, a pick six on the first snap for San Francisco to begin the game. But after that, it was all San Francisco from an offensive standpoint, and the Bears had no answers, couldn't generate pressure. And yeah, they forced two punts. But I just think the way that game was going, it was going to be whoever had the ball in their hands last having to make a play and get into the end zone. Bears had a chance, couldn't do it. San Francisco held on, and the 49ers win that ball game. And now the 49ers will play the Seahawks next week for the number one overall seed. We still have to wait for what happens tomorrow between the Rams and the Falcons, but Bears have to beat the Lions next week in order to be the number two seed in the NFC. And to me, the thing is, it's an opportunity that you had and you couldn't grasp it. You know what I mean? You had a real shot here going into the final week of the regular season to potentially be the number one, and you couldn't get it done tonight. And that's going to be a long flight home because of it.
No, it definitely will be. But you know what I mean? It's a disappointing loss for sure. There's no doubt about it. But again, now you got to think we're in the play. All right, here's what you got to think about. We have Detroit in front of us. Let's beat Detroit. But listen, we're in the playoffs. You know, okay, we don't get the first round bye. I get it. But let's move on past this tonight. And let's start thinking about the playoffs and what we got to do in the playoffs. You know, the biggest goal is to get in the playoffs. You see what happens. It is disappointing. It will be a little bit of a longer flight. But they have a big goal in front of them. And I heard you talk this week, and I talked as well, that Super Bowl can be talked in this locker room. It can be whispered. You know, don't bring it up in front of us and the media and stuff like that. But start talking amongst yourselves that we're in the playoffs, we're in the dance, we have a chance to get there. And it is disappointing to lose and not have the number one seed, but it doesn't mean you can't win the Super Bowl.
I do think this is one of those unique years. There's a lot that's happened this year, yes, to the Bears, but I really think throughout the landscape of the NFL, there's a lot that's happened this year that's a little odd, a little weird. And there is no top dog. I know that people will say, there are a lot of people that will tell you the Rams are the best team in the NFL. They're beatable.
Mm-hmm.
You saw tonight, San Francisco's beatable. Seattle's been beatable. You know, I think the Bears proved that Philadelphia is beatable, and we know that Green Bay is beatable. So it's about the Bears finding a way. Now the question is, can they find a way if they don't generate takeaways? That's the concern
that's
I have.
That's the question. Yeah, that's what was concerning today is that defense. I wanted to see them play better. I knew the 49ers were going to put up points, but I didn't think it would be that easy, and that's what's concerning. But you talk about all those teams that are on here, the Packers, Rams, 49ers, Eagles, Bears, Seahawks, Panthers, or Bucks. None of them really scare me. You know, I think it was Mike was the caller saying, I don't want to face the Packers. I'm fine facing the Packers. I'd actually rather face the Packers than the Rams or maybe the 49ers again with a healthy Kittle. But I still think they're all beatable. I still think the Bears can handle a matchup with all these teams. But going back to what we started this with, their defense did not play well enough, and I need their defense to play better for this to win or get the takeaways. But it didn't happen today.
312-644-6767 is the phone number. Your call's coming up. First, though, we want to go back to San Francisco where Bears head coach Ben Johnson met with the media.
With two guys that did not finish, one was Joe Tryon with a concussion, and then the other one was Noah Sewell with an Achilles. So we'll see what they look like here going forward. You know, that's a tough one for our guys. It's somewhat similar there to the Green Bay game a few weeks ago, just in terms of coming down to the last minute and last play of the game and just coming up one play short there. So, you know, the first half certainly didn't go the way we wanted it to as a team. You know, they controlled the ball. They did a good job building the lead there, you know, down by 7 at halftime. We couldn't stay on the field on offense. We were 0-for-3 on third downs. They were 5-for-7 on third downs in that first half. And yet, second half, I did feel like we picked up our game a little bit as a team. And, you know, we closed that gap and we made it to where we could potentially win that thing there at the end. So was proud of the guys for that, but it just wasn't enough. And when you go on the road against a good team like that, you got to be on top of your mess the entire time, and we just weren't. Some good performances there, notably by our rookies. You know, Luther had a huge game for us. Colston had a big game for us. Thought Caleb played pretty well for the most part, taking care of the football and throwing it accurately, so that was good to see. The pick six by TJ was huge to get us going. You could really feel the sideline come alive there, get us into the game. And so even though our offense was a little bit hit or miss there in the first half, that helped contribute some points to the cause. So with that, I'll go ahead and open it up.
And do you have a Luther got hurt there at the end? Do you have a?
I don't have an update on that yet. Yeah, I just heard that.
On the final play, what is kind of supposed to happen if everything works out the way?
Yeah, we didn't quite get aligned in the formation we wanted to. It's on me. I didn't give him the call fast enough, and so he's trying to piecemeal it together. I got to do a better job on that.
What was your perspective? The lateral play there, the one like two plays.
I couldn't really see. Yeah, I was on the other side of the field.
With that play in that situation, obviously, you know, there's a possibility he gets tackled in bounds. Mm-hmm. But like, are you happy when you call that? You're okay with the?
Yeah. You're not.
No, I just want to make sure. There's
plenty of time. We got plenty of good plays. So.
You talk about Caleb, just the way he battled from the early slow start and was kind of able to go almost shot for shot with Purdy in a sense. What stood out to you just about the way he was able to keep scoring for you guys?
Yeah, no, he knew he needed to come out and make some plays for us here tonight. When you're going against a dynamic offense like that, we talked about the possibility as an offense us going tit for tat with them, and you know, we at times were able to answer that call. You know, they just ended up making more plays than us.
Defense was on the field, I think, almost 22 minutes in the first half. What was kind of the message about trying to, you know, get them off quicker in the second half?
Yeah, well, I mean, part of it, it's a two-headed problem there, because you got us not being able to stay on the field on offense to where they weren't able to get off the field on third downs on defense. And so that's really how I saw it. It came down to the third downs.
It seemed like Purdy had a lot of time to throw. Just from what you can diagnose with the pass rush, what do you think was some of the issues with that tonight?
Yeah. I mean, he's a dangerous player, particularly when he can see down the field and have that much time. I agree with you. And then he extended some of those plays with his legs too, and he did a real nice job. And we certainly didn't affect him enough.
The free play touchdown Caleb threw to Colston. Mm-hmm. What did you like about how he just handled that, and how the guys handled that whole situation?
Yeah, it was something we talked about going into the week, and you know, we repped it again this morning in our walkthrough, and guys understood what we're trying to get done on that, and so it was really well executed.
The challenge this week with the illness going through the building, mm-hmm. team, this it happens, but like, how did you feel everybody kind of managed it and dealt with it?
I mean, we all understand that. If someone has to go down because they're sick, then someone else has to step up. And we did the best we could as a organization in terms of trying to stop it, you know, from masks to washing hands to, you know, being diligent that way. But, you know, it certainly did a number on our guys. But, you know, we felt good about the guys that we went to the game with. They were going to be able to play and play like they're 100%.
Let's say about Darnell to fly out here this morning and play, you know, full game the way he did.
Yeah, he was excited. You know, he came in this morning and he had a big smile on his face. Hey, you can't hold me back from this one, he said. So that was good to see.
The free play, the discipline that by Caleb to not settle for any of those shorter routes, like, what did you like about how he bought time to find Colston there?
Yeah, that's why we do free plays is to throw the ball down the field. So if we were throwing that short, I'd probably be upset with him.
That's Bears head coach Ben Johnson following a 42-38 loss by the Bears to the 49ers out west. And I think a couple of things that he hit on, Pat, that struck me is the stuff that you've been talking about, the inability to provide and apply the kind of pressure that you need to get Brock Purdy feeling uncomfortable. And he really was never uncomfortable other than that first snap, which got tipped by Jalen Johnson and the Bears returned it for a pick six. He had the ability to survey the field, move around and make plays. And he did it all night. That's what sticks with you from a defensive standpoint. And then from an offensive standpoint, he took the blame for the final play. But I think it was there, right? There were things available for the Bears, but he did take the blame, which I thought was interesting.
Well, he said formationally it was not correct. So, you know, that to me says a lot about the head coach, and he's been doing that his whole career here with the Bears. He points the finger at himself when he does make a mistake, and that goes a long way in the locker room. And we don't know. Maybe once we get the All-22 or we get to break it down more, who should have been where and where should have been who or whatever. Caleb, you know, said he piecemealed it together. So, for him to come out there and put it on himself, that says a lot. That goes a long way in the locker room. The other thing I thought was interesting was his response to Fishbane. I've never really heard him fire back at a reporter like that. He was a little quick. He said, like, he was talking about one of the plays, and he's like, oh, you're not happy about the play call? And that was interesting. Just, you could tell he was really upset about this loss. And it was nice to hear that from him. But I think it's the first time I've heard him kind of just be short with a reporter. And it's just, it's nice to hear his little, you know, you hear guys talk about him and how he can be angry and upset and yell at guys or whatever. And it's just to hear that little tone to Fishbane was very interesting to me because I haven't heard that. That sounded very different from what we've heard in the past.
The only time we've seen or gotten a glimpse of that Ben Johnson publicly, I think it was at halftime of the game against the Raiders. Remember Didi Kinkabwala was interviewing him and he kind of had that look in a very short, we'll be okay, we'll be fine, right? Didn't he say something like that? That's the only time that we've seen it because the Bears have been on quite a roll really since that halftime interview. And I think snapping there, what it shows you is how much stock they put in this game because they knew how much was on the line. There was a real opportunity to potentially be the number one seed in the NFC. And I think they feel they squandered that opportunity.
Yeah. But the other thing, too, we talked about the second half, how they came out in the second half. They scored on that first drive, which was big. And I think before the final drive, they were 4-for-4 on third downs. You know, they had some big third down conversions there as well. So they came out in the second half and they were ready to compete, and they put up the points they needed to do and to keep them in the game, but just couldn't get it done at the end, which is disappointing. But nice job to come out in the second half and do what they did. And I just, you know, we talked about it earlier, Zach, the rookies making the drops at the end and not making the plays at the end, but they would not have been there with their out there play earlier in the game. And I thought they had a heck of a game, and it was nice for him to point them out as well.
Yeah, you're talking about both Colston Loveland and Luther Burden III. Yes. Burden had 8 catches for 138 yards and a touchdown. And at the end of the game, it looked like he got banged up. And then you heard Ben Johnson asked about that in the postgame press conference. And Burden talked to reporters following the game in the locker room and said that he was just a little tired. So we'll wait and see, you know, how it comes up on the injury report. But at least if he's talking in the locker room after that game, it can't be as bad as it looked on TV as they were signing off on NBC. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. This is the Football Postgame Show presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing and Aturo Tire. Let's go out to the phone lines and continue the festivities. We'll start with Dave in South Florida. Hi, Dave. You're on The Score. What's going on?
Hey, guys. Great show, as always. I just got one question on that hook and lateral play. Patrick, did you see that there was actually room? Because I actually saw, I was wrong or not, but I actually thought he had a chance to go out of bounds and maybe conserve that 10 to 15 seconds before they had to down the ball and the second and last play. Just get your thoughts on that.
I don't know because I guess he tossed it to him. He could have gone outside, but I'm sure they practiced it and they've been in all these situations. What I've loved to have seen is that Ben Johnson has put his players in these positions before in practice, so they know what to do. So I think they were expecting to score. I think they thought this play was going to surprise them a little bit and they were just going to score, but I do want to go back and see that. Do you want to get out of bounds? Sure, you'd like to get out of bounds, but I don't think that was what was dialed up.
The other thing is there was a play where Duvernay had a lot of grass in front of him and Caleb was short, right? He short-hopped the ball. That's before all the misses that by Burden and Loveland. There was an opportunity there, man. And those are the little
things.
That was
a tough throw. Yeah. That looked like a tough throw. Collinsworth called him out on that one, and they re-showed it. I'm like, wait a minute, he's running for his life, running away from him. That's a really tough throw. Maybe he could have stopped and stepped into it and taken the hit, but that was a tough throw.
The other thing that stands out to me about Caleb, and this is the amazing thing, it's like watching a great home run hitter. Any moment can be the moment if he's got a little bit of time and he drops back and he's able to unfurl. Something special could happen, you know, with a big-time throw, because that deep ball that he throws is unbelievable. And I think that's something come playoff time, and it's not something that's impacted by the wind because his arm is so strong.
Yes.
That's why you want those games at Soldier Field in January, right?
Agreed. And the other thing is the fourth quarter. I know we didn't win today, but he says he's willing to take the shot like Michael Jordan or whatever at the end of the game, and he's proven he can do it. Okay, he's lost two of them at the end of the game against the Packers and the one here, but I still believe in him. I still believe he's the guy you want in the fourth quarter. I think at the end of his career, he's going to have a lot more wins in the fourth quarter than disappointments. And I just believe in that. I think that's the way he's made. It's interesting when they show a cut to him on the sideline, and he just looks calm as can be, and he's just accepting the situation and the moment he's in, and he's prepared and ready to go.
Bears now 11-5. They'll either be the number two or the number three seed in the NFC playoffs. Out to the phones we go. Rich in Country Club Hills, you're on the Score. Hi, Rich.
Hey, how you doing, fellas? Everybody knows that our head coach had sway over the draft and told our general manager to draft offense. Here's what I want our general manager to do in the 2026 draft. Use every doggone pick in the whole draft for the defense. Defensive line, linebacker, somebody get
Rich,
some speed.
Rich, I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you, but we've got to forget about the draft right now. Because
Rich,
this is where
Rich doesn't listen to the pregame then, because I cut Mully off every time he brings up the draft. We're done doing that. Those shows are over.
I mean,
we're going to talk about playoffs. I want to talk about seeds. I want to argue about who you want to face.
Right.
I don't care about the 2026 draft right now.
I mean, Rich, I
appreciate the call, but this is where we are as Bears fans right now. Let's worry about the seeding and who we got first in the playoffs, and let's beat the Lions first.
It's wide open in the NFC. You've got to be thinking Super Bowl watching the Bears, especially with the way they're able to score. And what you're hoping for is, can the defense that you have right now improve just a tick if they don't get takeaways? Just improve a tick to allow the offense to win you ball. If you score 38 points, you should be walking off the field as a winner. The Bears were unable to do that tonight because the defense couldn't get off the field. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. This is the Football Postgame Show presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing and Arturo Tire. Your call's next on The Score.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Spurting to the air right away. They jumped around and picked off. The Bears have it. T.J. Edwards inside the 10 to the end zone. Touchdown, Chicago, on the opening play. Jalen Johnson tipped it. And the turnover-prone Bears get it another one. They lead the league with 32 takeaways on the season.
Great start for the Bears, a heartbreaking finish. The hit of the game sponsored by S-Wing Professional Tools, made in the USA for over 100 years. S-Wing.com. Yeah, that was the way the game started, right? First snap, Purdy drops back, Johnson tips it up in the air, Edwards catches it and rumbles into the end zone for a pick six. Bears strike first with a 7-0 lead. And that was the last you'd see of the Bears defense. From that point forward, it was an offensive shootout between these two teams. And the Bears had a chance on the final play, couldn't get it done as the 49ers hold on and beat the Bears 42-38, which means the Bears will either be the number two or three seed in the NFC playoffs. Zach Zaidman in for Mully. Patrick Manley is along. You are as well at 312-644-6767. This is the Football Postgame Show presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing and Arturo Tire. Pat, I want to head out to the phone lines, and we've got a special guest with us from the Dan Patrick Show. He's a Score contributor on the tailgate. You hear it every morning, on every Saturday morning here on the Score, Paul Pabst. And Paul, you had an opportunity to digest and process what you just saw. Give me your thoughts.
You know, Zach, I think that's a good way of putting it, because at the last play, it was so close to being a touchdown and stealing that game. Of course you're disappointed, and you're like, oh, what could have been a one seed? But after about 5 minutes, I've been sitting here listening to you guys on the postgame show and kind of just soaking in the game. I don't know if I've ever felt better about the Bears after a loss than I do tonight for a couple of reasons. Not the defense, even with a pick six, which is great. But, like, when was the last time the Bears were in an offensive shootout and had a chance to win it at the end? I can't remember it in any point in my life. And if that pass was 2 feet higher, we're talking about the Bears scoring 44 points on the road against a team that's right now the hottest offense in football. And Caleb Williams throwing for like 320. And I actually feel better about their chances in the playoffs now than I did an hour ago, because I think the defense will be cleaned up. This was more of an anomaly. And the offense, I don't think it ever looked better. And when you look at the rookies, I know Loveland had a drop, and I know Burden had a drop, but they were carrying that team for the entire game. So, weirdly, I feel pretty good right now at 11 o'clock at night.
Paul, here's one thing. Here's what I love, and I agree with you about the offense. I believe the Bears organization has finally caught up with the NFL. We have a competent offense that can score points. But as far as the defense, I'm just not certain. You went against an offense, okay, it's Kyle Shanahan, you're right, but you don't have George Kittle, you don't have Trent Williams, and you gave up 42 points. So that to me is discouraging, that a good team or a team that can make a run in the playoffs or a Super Bowl caliber winning team right now to put up a defensive effort like that is not good enough. But I hear what you're saying about feeling good about them, because I do agree with the offense. I think we have a head coach and we have a quarterback and we have receivers and young players that say, hey, there is a really bright future with these guys. But if you're talking about this year right now and what I saw in that game defensively, that's discouraging to me. But offensively, I've got your back on that.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong, and I think, Paul, you'd agree with this. There's nothing wrong with the fact that the Bears are playing enjoyable football games. They're doing things from an offensive standpoint that you just don't remember seeing, no matter what era you started following the Bears. You're going to have an opportunity to play a home playoff game. Your Super Bowl chances might be hurt because you're no longer in the running for the top seed. But sure, there's something here. There's something here. And if the Bears can just improve a tick defensively heading into the postseason with the kind of offense they've got, and Caleb continues to grow each and every week, there's something here. Don't you agree?
Yeah, Zach, I agree with both of you, because when was the last time the Bears were not in a football game? Was it Detroit in the first month of the season?
Yeah,
that was the
too.
Only game that was out of hand. And they're in every single game. I mean, their two losses in the past month came down to a last throw that could have been a touchdown. And I go back to, like, there are teams that are, like, the Rams could be the 5 seed, but Vegas would look at them as the favorite to be in the NFC. It doesn't always match the rankings and what a team can do. I look at Philly as a much more of a spotty team, as well as they play today, week to week, than the Bears. Like, they'll lay goose eggs, Philly. And the Rams lost to the Panthers. But I went back to, like, I was looking at some stats. 2011, the New York Giants lost 6 of their last 8. They finished 9-7. They squeaked into the playoffs. They ended up winning the Super Bowl against Tom Brady. It's not so important how you get there. It's what you have when you get there. And I can't picture the Bears not being in a game. And when they got the ball back, I don't know, I'm sure, Zach, you felt the same way. When they got the ball back tonight with 2:15 and 3 timeouts, I'm like, well, this is going to be a win. And it wasn't, and it's disappointing. But when was the last time you felt completely confident in a Bears offense to roll down the field on the road and get a touchdown? I thought they were going to win that.
I think we all did, right? The way these games have unfolded. To me, everything changed on Black Friday. Once the Bears did what they did to Philadelphia, this has been a different team. You know, I felt that Caleb was going to make the play at the tail end of that game at Lambeau. I felt like he was going to somehow, once the Bears got the ball back last week against the Packers, you just kind of knew something's going to happen. But tonight was the script, the way it was set up perfectly. You know, the Bears were marching down the field after the hook and ladder play. They're right there in striking distance. Mm-hmm. You're just – the only thing I was wondering is, how is it going to unfold? And unfortunately, it didn't happen. But I think, you know, this is something that Pat mentioned earlier in the show. This is going to be a learning experience. Yes. I think not necessarily for Caleb, but I think it's going to be a learning experience for some of the younger guys to make the plays in those pressure moments. Don't you agree?
Oh, Zach,
yeah, and I
get,
think, like,
guys, when you get into these moments, they are totally learning experiences. That's what it is. For the next time you're there, the next time they're on a playoff run, they'll be there. Their heartbeat will tick a little slower. It'll be a little bit easier on them. And it does make a difference. And to go back to what we were talking about earlier, the defense, can they get any better? Well, there's two guys that can come back possibly for the playoff run. One is Rome on the offense, and the other is Tyler Gordon, which is kind of Dennis Allen's little toy that he's wanted to play with all year. And if he can come back and be 100% healthy, that, to me, is not going to make him a great defense, but it makes Dennis Allen a better coordinator and makes him a better defense.
Yeah, and I was thinking about it this morning. I did the tailgate show the other day on the Score, and I was looking at my notes from 1 year ago today. The Bears had just lost 10 in a row. They had that absolute stinker. Was that the day after Christmas against Seattle, 6-3 in the soupy rain? We feel like we're galactically farther from that you can even imagine. Like, the Bears are so ahead of schedule right now that, you know, oh, 2 weeks ago, if I said a month ago or maybe 6 weeks ago, the Lions are out of the playoffs and the Bears are playing for the one seed, you're like, all right, calm down, pump the brakes. But that's where we are right now. And there's no reason to think that they can't play with any team in the playoffs, and it's such a great feeling.
Right. I think the other thing that I think is really important, I don't want to hear talk this year about how this is the beginning of something special. Make
right.
this
mm-hmm.
the year.
I agree with that.
Now,
yep.
In the future, if you prove that you can consistently win and sustain success, that's great. But right now, there's a great opportunity. There have been so many games. There's been a lot of luck that and you can't quantify it, but we've all watched this season, and you know that there's been a lot of luck. You faced a lot of backup quarterbacks. A lot of top players have been banged up when facing the Bears. These weird things happen during games that you can't explain, and yet the Bears almost always pounce on these moments. That's what made the end of this game stunning, because you're not used to the ending not being a happy one for the Bears. But that being said, there is no Mahomes in this year's postseason.
Right.
There's an opportunity. You can tick off six teams that you think can win the Super Bowl, and if you make the argument right enough, I can't argue with you. And the Bears are one of those teams, in my opinion.
Yeah,
and the other thing, if you look at it, like you never apologize for who you beat. You know, if you want to go back a generation to when the Bulls first made the playoffs and were on that run with Michael Jordan, if you remember, Zach, and you guys probably remember, they played a Lakers team with an injured Magic Johnson, and they got by Magic Johnson, and there were no apologies about it. You don't care how it works out. And if you look at the Bears right now, they have the running game, and the way everything's falling into place, it's not going to be easy. They're going to have to, if they advance in the playoffs, my guess is that every win that the Bears would get will be a one-score game. I can't picture them beating some team 35-10 in the playoffs. They just don't have that in them. No offense, but it doesn't matter, because if they get a one-point win, we don't judge wins. This isn't college football where you judge wins and
right.
advance a team and Notre
that.
Dame doesn't get to go because of judgment. We judge teams, and Patrick, you know this, we judge teams in September. Like, what kind of team do you have? Let's discuss their future. But once you get to December and January, it's just math, and you don't apologize for winning.
Great
nobody's
stuff.
Nobody's going to say after the division champs, the 2025 division champs, nobody's going to talk about the backup quarterbacks they beat. They're just going to say they're the
right.
division champs. If you go on and win the Super Bowl, nobody's going to talk about the luck they had throughout the year. You'll talk about the year, but you're still going to say Super Bowl champ. You're not going to say because of the luck they had during the season.
Yeah, the ring looks the same, whatever the scoreboard says.
Yes, exactly. And by the way, those notes you have from last year, you should probably burn those. we don't need those notes anymore, man. I burn mine or wipe mine clean on my iPad. That's 10 years, that's gone, man.
Yeah, like voodoo. I should have a sacrifice and just burn them out
yes,
for good luck.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, forget those notes.
Paulie, thank you so much.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Paul.
Paul Papps from the Dan Patrick Show. You hear him every Saturday morning on the Score, on the tailgate. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Zach Zaidman in for Mully. Patrick Manley is along. This is the Football Postgame Show presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing and Aturo Tire. I'm told we have to take a break, right? Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll hear from Caleb Williams and take some of your phone calls next on the Score.
And a first down for the Bears. Time sending it downfield to the end zone for Burden. He's got it. Touchdown, Chicago. Luther Burden just told you about his ability. Behind the secondary. And Williams hits him.
The Chicago Bears love these deep throws. We see it game after game and game winners out there all the way across the field here. And I am going to watch this thing over the top and just a little flip of the wrist here for Williams under pressure. He just keeps doing it all season long. He just keeps, you know, you think he's down for the count and just not.
Who's hot and who's cold is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency call the professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. Caleb Williams, red hot, his first 300-yard passing game of the season. Threw for 330 yards, two touchdowns, including that one to Luther Burden III that you heard Mike Tirico and Chris Collinsworth talking about on Sunday Night Football on NBC. Burden with 138 yards via eight receptions, including that touchdown. And I think, Pat, the way I look at it, Caleb Williams has turned it up a notch. He's now become kind of the way you look at a great home run hitter in baseball. Anytime that player digs in, there's an opportunity for a special moment to happen. And that's Caleb Williams every time he drops back on a deep ball. Any moment can be the moment.
Yeah, earlier we used to get upset. He'd overthrow it, underthrow it, not hit the deep ball, but now he's making the throws. We did talk earlier, Chris Collinsworth pointed out he's missed some of those easier throws, but the deep ball, he's fixed, and he seems like he just keeps getting better and better and better. But I want to bring us back to reality a little bit. The 49ers had 18 sacks on the year. They didn't touch him today, so they have 18 sacks through, 16 games this year. So he had a lot of time to throw the ball, and he did what he had to do against a defense, basically a no-name defense. Nobody out there we really know, with no Fred Warner, no Nick Bosa. But he did his job. He did what he had to do, put up 330 yards, and he is hitting those deep balls now, and he is getting better. And I am now, and I said I was going to wait a little while, and every week I've done this, I am become a Caleb Williams believer, and I think he will be the franchise quarterback for a long time for the Chicago Bears.
So he just keeps doing it.
So that's who's hot, who's cold. The Bears defense unable to really get to Brock Purdy after that pick six. And as the Bears approach the playoffs, it's got to be better. It's got to be better on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, it just has to. They have to get after the passer. They have to get the quarterback down. They had opportunities. Got to give Brock Purdy some credit for getting out of there, but they got to get him down. That's the biggest thing, is get some pass rush.
Zach Sedman, Patrick Manley with you. This is the Football Postgame Show presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing and Aturo Tire. 49ers hold off the Bears in a shootout 42-38. Let's listen to what Bears quarterback Caleb Williams had to say after this ballgame.
Caleb, you've been on the other end of these a lot this year. How do you describe just kind of your feeling after that final play?
It's frustrating, obviously. You don't want to lose a game ever. And then also just being in that position and having a shot at the end is all you can ask for in those moments. But we got to do a better job overall, just execution. We made too many mistakes as a team, whether it's penalties, whether it's alignments, whether it's assignments, you know, things like that. We'll go back. We'll figure it out. You know, we'll be truth tellers to ourselves, because we got a great shot at the end of the season to put ourselves in, you know, in a good spot, but also, to get back on a roll and get back on a run here through the playoffs. And that's what you're focused on. You want to go back and figure out why what happened today is what happened. And like I said, be truth tellers to us as a team, and that'll better us for what's up to come.
Your eyes, can you take us through the final play? Obviously, pressure came early, but what you saw?
Yeah, we ended up getting lined up with not much time, and we were slightly lined up wrong, and so didn't have enough time to be able to fix it, having emotion and things like that, and so we just had to try and make something out of nothing in that situation. And then, like I said, we had a shot. You know, with all of that going on, time running down, you know, us missing line and things like that, we had a shot. And, just got to give my guys a shot in that situation. I think I haven't obviously gone back and watched it yet, but I think I ended up dirting the ball, didn't get my legs into it. Just put the ball in the end zone in that moment. And if it's a pick or incomplete at that point, then but can't dirt the ball.
Caleb, these last 2 weeks, primetime games, high stakes,
playing against playoff opponents. Mm-hmm. You guys are right there with both of them, win yep. one, lose the other. What do you feel like you guys have proven? I know you have a lot of confidence in the building, but what have you shown everybody else?
I mean, we know who we are. We know exactly what we need to be able to do to win games. And if it comes down to it, we know that we're going to give ourselves the best shot to be able to do it. And that's something that we've known. That's something that we've worked on. It's something that the confidence from all the work and things like that throughout the time, the games that we've had, has grown for these type of moments. And so, yeah, we fall short in this situation, but we've been on the other side of it, and we know, we can be a lot better here coming up.
What does it show about the offense, or what does it prove about the offense? And you guys kept coming back. I think you tied it at 14, 21, 28, 35. Every time they scored, you did.
Yeah. We can hang with anybody. And if our guys on the other side of the ball, maybe is having a tough day or so, we'll be right there with them, having their back, just as they've done for us in a multitude of games.
We can hang with anybody. That stands out to me, Caleb Williams, after tonight's 42-38 loss to the 49ers out west. Pat, what sticks out to you listening to Caleb there?
Just it's disappointing, just that last play that they couldn't get it in because they spiked the ball. So they had time to get everything called and lined up. You know, it's a normal time between spiking the ball and getting it. It's not the clock was not running down. It was more the play clock. That, to me, is disappointing. They need to get that right. I was going back through it. I couldn't remember exactly what was going on just because it was so chaotic. But that to me. But then his belief and his calm and just the way he just has that ultimate belief, that ultimate confidence. And I like to hear that he feels like, hey, I'm going to be here again. And when I do this post-game press conference, I'm going to be talking about a win and a completed pass for a win.
Do you think some of the injuries that the Bears have dealt with when it comes to the receiving core may have resulted in the alignment being off, the fact that they were I'm sure they'll expand on this in the days ahead, but the fact that certain guys couldn't practice because the flu bug was rampant at Halas Hall, and that's why you practice, to make sure that stuff like you saw at the tail end of this game doesn't happen.
It could be, but I can't make that an excuse. They're professionals. It's a play call they've probably run before, even if it's been in training camp or a couple weeks before. And you just expect guys to line up. I don't care if you're a backup. I don't care if you're a starter. I don't care if you've been sick. But I'm sure all the truth will come out about that. But it's disappointing that they just weren't able to get everything effectively lined up. And that's disappointing to me. And that maybe something it would have happened differently. But just to go back what you were asking about, Caleb, just to hear his tone, I like to hear that. I hear ultimate confidence in my quarterback, and that's what I want to hear.
Does the defense have something to hang on to get better?
One play, the first play.
Yeah.
Kyler Gordon coming back. If he can come back and play, I do think he makes a difference. I really think he is a huge tool for Dennis Allen and what he wants to do, the way he likes to get pressure and the way he can get pressure with him and bring in the blitzes.
You know, the reason I bring it up is because if you're going to try and make a deep run in the postseason, I mean, just look at the NFC West, right? The top three teams, however it shakes out at the end of next week, those three teams, they're explosive offensively, whether it's Seattle, obviously San Francisco, the Rams are very explosive. You got to be a little bit better defensively, or you got to hope that you can control the clock with your running game, which surprised me that the Bears were not able to do that with their run against the 49ers banged up defense today.
Yeah, I would love to hear Ben Johnson's thoughts on that he just thinks, hey, this is totally going to be a shootout. Let's just outscore them. Because if you do trip up and try to hold the ball and run the ball and don't convert, what happens at the end of the game is it get out of hand. Maybe he just thought today was going to be we're going to try to outscore them, and he almost did.
Well, our Bears postgame show has come to a close. And next week, the Bears at 3:25 will play the Lions at Soldier Field on Sunday. If they win that game, then the Bears will be hosting the Green Bay Packers in the wild card round at Soldier Field. I know that's something you want.
I do. When they win that game, Zach. When they win that game on Sunday.
Pat, thank you for helping me along here on the post-game show. you're going to have a lot to talk about throughout the week and especially next week before and after that game against the Lions. This has been the Football Postgame Show presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing and Aturo Tire. Want to thank our producer, Tyler Buterbaugh, for helping us blast the speakers of your radio as well as all of your smart devices, and Sean Sears for providing the audio that you heard throughout the program, as well as you for your phone calls. For Patrick Manley, I'm Zach Zaidman saying thanks for listening. So long.
At the end of the day, it's after Packers always.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.